It's time for Crop Talk, local issues that area growers and producers are talking about. Crop Talk is brought to you by Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management Services and Harmeyer Auction and Appraisal Company. And now, the Farm Doctor, John Williams.
Good morning. Welcome to today's program. Today, I've caught up with area farmer John Alia, much like I did last week with talking with area farmer Don Thurston. We kind of, in this area at least, wrapped up this year's planting and, trying to get their thoughts on, how the crop went in the ground this year and the challenges it's bringing. First of all, good morning, John, and thanks for taking the time to do this.
Good morning, John.
And I think the only reason you're taking the time is because we're trying to, a bunch of rain here we're having this week anyway, and kind of keeping you away from side dressing.
Yeah, I started side dressing a couple of days ago and got rained out yesterday, started again this morning, got rained out again today. So just got a good start and things are growing well.
John, as I do with Don, it's always good to talk to you guys. I kind of keep you guys at arm's length here a little bit to get with you from time to time through the year to see what and how and why and when and where. What challenges were you presented with? Every year is something new and different. So this year, getting that crop in the ground, what was maybe your concerns putting it in, or some of the challenges you think from this point on?
Well, the biggest concern, I think, was the cold weather we had. We started off there in early April. We planted some corn because we had a new planter and we wanted to test it out, which I'm glad we did because we had some issues and we had to straighten out. But planted nice, started to come up, and then it turned cold. And fortunately, it didn't stay wet. So we had that cold spell, but not wet. Made it a little more difficult in weed control. But things warmed up a little bit. We got in again and planted a majority of our crop. Turned a little wet and cooler, and then we, at the end of the month, we got the last of it in, and everything really planted pretty nice. We did a couple fields a little wetter than we'd like, but everything seems to be going well, except for a couple fields that we had to replant about 10 acres, so fortunately, it wasn't much of that. It's got some beans in some wet areas that's still struggling just a little bit, but I think they'll be fine.
And that was my next question, I guess. Any concerns as far as replanting, or have you talked with anyone around the area that has had to replant? Because I've really not heard much of having replant.
There's not much, because my son Ben sells seed, and he knows when people replant, there's very few people came after seed. So there's very little done. The reason we had some rolling fields on the side of those hills, that cold weather, just right time it sprouted, struggled. It just stayed too saturated on the side of those hills.
When was your first crop in, or first seed in the ground? Do you remember that date?
April 7th for us.
And you finished up on what date?
May 23rd.
And so there was quite a variance there, from start to finish. But was you able to get the corn in and that, on those early windows, and then kind of finished up with beans, or did it kind of come about where you had some late corn?
We had some corn we planted, I think, about the 21st, 22nd, where we finished up corn on which is pretty typical on a couple of our farms. It's cool white soils. It just doesn't dry out very well. So that's normal for us. Really, that was getting done by the 23rd is really good for us.
Yeah, certainly the weather has been a challenge, but we're certainly getting moisture now, and I guess we really need some sunshine and heat for a few days anyway.
Yeah, the sunshine would be great. These warm nights, you just seen this, what's happened this week. This corn and beans both are taking off. Beans, when that colder spell we had over Memorial Day, they just kind of stalled out. They didn't, beans want at least 60 degree ground temperature, and it probably just barely 60 degrees at Memorial Day weekend, as cool that was. But now they've got these warm nights, things are really taking off.
John, any kind of new techniques you've put together this year in the program? And you know what I'm referring to, I think. The cover crop going back in.
Okay.
I want you to expand on that a little bit, because that's kind of interesting to me, what you did and how it looks now, because I'm kind of amazed the way it looks. But if you would, explain the theory and thought behind that.
We've done cover crops for many years, but the thing we did this year, we had some clover, some crimson and red clovers into it, and we wanted to try to save that clover for to at least through planting, try to get a little bit of nitrogen to fix, take advantage of that nitrogen. So what we did, we used clethodim to kill the rye early, we thought, but the label didn't allow a very big rate of clethodim. So we sprayed it, knocked it back. That cool weather came on, it tillered out again, we think, and it took off, and it grew again. So what we didn't get planted early and planted in later May, the rye was up tall and headed out, and that's the first time we'd had actually planted in that tall rye before.
I got to tell you, it looks pretty good at this point anyway.
Yeah, it does. I'm sure hesitant when I planted into it. It's all standing up, but now it's laid down. The rye has. I think it's going to be really good for holding moisture, weed control, and if we can get a good... We've got a good stand right now, and I think it's going to be turn out well for us.
And is that a practice you would continue, or is it just too many headaches with it?
I don't know. We'll have to wait to see what the yields are this fall. I was really hesitant to let it green up, because normally we kill it early and don't let it get very tall. But this year, like I said, it got away from us, and I was always afraid of that. But we killed it as we planted. I sure wouldn't want to kill it that tall before, because then you can't get the ground to dry out. So, and I'd been reading that people said that planting into it green's a lot better than planting into it's dead. So it planted better than I thought, and right now it looks like we've got a good stand.
Yeah, it may be something you're glad it worked that way. John, let's take a short break, and we come back, we'll get into the second half of the program.
Hi, this is Rusty Harmeyer. People have been turning to Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management Services for their farm management and real estate needs for over 90 years. All kinds of people: farm owners, investors, tenants, bankers, lenders, attorneys, accountants, in fact, anyone involved with a farm in any way. We have provided services from the occasional consultation to complete farm management and real estate brokerage to thousands of clients throughout the Midwest. Visit our website, halderman.com, where you can view current listings, take a virtual tour of our properties, check out dates for our upcoming auctions, or look up past sale results. If you have a farm-related issue, Halderman can help. Contact Chris or Lauren Peacock, Craig Springmeyer, or myself, Rusty Harmeyer, at halderman.com.
Back now with area farmer John Allian. John is certainly one of the bright spots and has been for quite some, even during since the pandemic has lifted a little bit, but certainly corn and bean prices have been really, really good. They're not doing much now. I mean, they're really good price, but I mean, up 20 one day, down 20 the next day, they're kind of stagnant. But I guess my question would be, and I know I ask you this, when we do these segments, but what's the reasoning for that, do you think? I mean, are we still at a world shortage, you think, or at least a countrywide shortage of beans or corn, or what's driving the market?
Yeah, I think we definitely are different. A countrywide shortage. Export's been very good. The yields last year, I'm disappointed they didn't catch it earlier and let us know that the yields weren't out there that they thought it was, and it came there through the winter, and they found out, the yields weren't there. So the price has really rocketed since then. And now that the dry weather out west, they're worrying about it creeping further east, as so far it hasn't. I understand things out in Iowa and Nebraska are really doing well. Dakotas are very questionable. But things are actually that the crop reports have been good, but that fear and speculation of that drought continuing back to the east, I think, is what's the fuel of the fire for these markets.
You think there's much room left for that market to go north?
Oh, definitely. If Iowa turns dry and Nebraska turns really dry, and they irrigate a lot, but irrigate's not the same as rain. I think there's some real potential that could really go high. Going down this early, that's a potential. I could see it going up two, down two. Either way, depends on how the season turns out.
What are you thinking? How aggressive were you this off season in speculating next year's crop? I mean, was you more aggressive than typical because of these prices, or are you just kind of standoffish and waiting to see what happens here?
No, we've been a little more aggressive than what we have been the last few years because I'm always a person who likes to sell as the market goes up. Some people are a little the opposite way. It's just kind of a personal feelings to being optimistic at that point. But we've been a little aggressive. Actually, we slowed down not knowing what our yields are going to be yet or where it's going to be. It seemed like every time we sold, it went higher. So that kind of discourages just a little bit about forward contracting. But we need to be looking at it again now that we know we've got good stands. We still won't know what's going to happen in July at pollination time, but if we wait too long, we may miss some opportunities. So it's just a gamble, and just go do your gut feeling.
Will you be a little more aggressive with fungicides and nutritionals and that type of stuff to throw at this year's crop being where the prices are at, or not any more so than normal?
I think we'll be aggressive on the soybeans. We haven't actually bought the fungicide yet because we was fearful of dry and didn't think maybe it may not pay. And if it did, we just purchase it and spray it. So now we've got moisture. I think we definitely will be spraying fungicides on the beans. The corn, we look at the hybrids and judge it from the hybrid standpoint of what their resistance are between the northern and gray leaf spot. That's our two biggest issues. But more than likely, we probably won't do the corn just because we can't do it ourselves.
John, I thank you for your comments. Appreciate it as always. We'll be checking with you throughout the season and later. Oh, one other thing before we close. The inputs for next year, is that of some concern now?
Big concern. We were fortunate. We got most of our stuff bought last summer and fall, so we're in good shape there for this year, but I don't see things backing off, and as long as the grain prices stay high, the inputs are going to be expensive.
Yeah, well, you're just going to have to, everyone's going to have to be real careful and probably not hesitate in getting that done. Sooner the better, probably.
We'll be watching it and see where they're at, and you know, just like selling grain, buying inputs can be the same risky situation.
John, thanks. Appreciate it. Be talking to you soon. That wraps it up for this week's show. Join me again next time. Till then, everyone, keep healthy and above all, keep safe.
Crop Talk is brought to you by Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management and by Harmeyer Auction and Appraisal Company. Thanks for listening. And join us next Sunday morning immediately after Community Caravan for Crop Talk with the Farm Doctor, John Williams. From the station proud to support our area growers and producers, Kix 96.